I pray that you'll give ear to Brother Miller as he comes to speak for us today. Brother Jerry and I go back a very long way, as I mentioned earlier in the week, and we kind of started preaching at the same time, and we were ordained to the full work of the ministry together. So we've got a lot of ties. I think every place that he's pastored, and I have worked with him, and every place I've pastored and done work, he's been there to work with me. And so our paths have intertwined throughout our ministry. And it's a blessing to have friends like that. It's a real blessing to have friends like that. And so I pray that you'll give ear to him as he comes to speak to you. This is Brother Jerry Miller.
Well, I want to say it certainly is a blessing to be back this morning. And as Brother Tim, your pastor, said, we have been here this week in revival effort, and we still are. We're still looking for the Lord to continue his great work. And let's pray for the service today. And I want to thank the church here at Victory for the invitation to come. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here with you this week and labor with you in the work of the Lord. I thank you for your prayers, and I know that you've been praying, because I'm thankful for the liberty that I have felt to preach God's word. And I know that that comes about through the prayers of God's people. I want to get this off my mind and heart before I try to bring the message today. I want to make an apology. You know, sometimes you have a sudden thought, and then you feel bad. You're like, I shouldn't have thought that. And so I want to apologize to Brother Tim for a mean thought that I had, and to the church for thinking this about your good pastor. But I just couldn't help it. Earlier when he talked about having a sore throat, I thought, from what? I'm glad he said it was from singing. If you have your Bibles and would like to read with me, I'm going to be trying to read some scripture from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to begin reading with verse 8, and again ask for your prayers. Lord, place these thoughts on my heart. And I was like Brother Perry was with his Sunday school lesson this morning. They've been very sweet to me to think about these things. But Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And I have a text verse that I would like to read that's found in the 10th chapter of Numbers. Numbers chapter 10 in verse 29. It says, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." And with that in mind, and also the verses there in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that I have read before you, I want to speak about the journey that I have read about today. And that's really what we're on. I spoke a little bit about that earlier in the week. And that's what our life here is. We are travelers. We are journeying through this life. This world here is not an eternal world. It's a temporary world, and one day God's going to put it to rest. One day this world is going to be destroyed by God. And so we don't have here, we don't have, as the Bible tells us, here we have no continuing city, but we do seek one to come. And we have this confession as the children of God that here we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, the journey that we are on is, again, it's not, we are not here forever. And in fact, our journey, going back to some of the verses that were spoken of earlier in the week, our journey here is actually a short one because our life is a vapor that just appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And, you know, when God saves us, he brings to us knowledge that we just did not have before. You know, those who have been saved have experimental knowledge of God. We come to know him, as Brother Tim has said several times this week, he is a personal Savior. We come to a knowledge of him when we are saved. We have a relationship with God that we know is real. And there are things that God brings to our minds and to our hearts. He reveals knowledge of things to us, you know, that we know that we have been saved. We know that we know that we know that we have been saved because the Holy Spirit of God makes us to know that when he saves us. But there are other things through God's, the revealing power of his Holy Spirit and through the study of his word, there are other things that we become to know as well. And one of those things that we understand as God's people, and one of those things that we make confession of, as I have read here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, is that we are well aware that we're not at home here, that this is just a temporary place that we're passing through, that we're only on a journey unto the place where the Lord has given us. And God has prepared a great place for his people. And I want to speak a little bit about that, but I was thinking about this earlier. It wasn't very long ago, I don't know what, maybe 3 years ago or 4 years ago or something like that, they came out with a movie And the title of the movie is, I think, is Heaven is Real or Heaven is for Real or something like that. And I heard a lot of people talking about it. Oh, you know, they've come out with this movie talking about the reality of heaven, that heaven's for real. And I remember when I first heard the title of that, that heaven's for real, I thought, well, I could have told you that a long time ago. I've known for years that heaven is real. God has made me to know that. And I'm thankful that I have a knowledge that the Apostle Paul expressed in his second epistle to the church at Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." And so we know as God's people, and you know, listen, you're not ever going to have a sweeter knowledge than that. You can't get that at a university. You cannot get any degree that will ever give you that. Listen, the highest level of knowledge that has ever been attained by anybody is to know that it's well with their soul and to know that they have a heavenly home when their journey here has come to an end. And, you know, those who argue with that and those who say that you really can't know whether or not you've been saved, I have no idea what they do when they read the Bible. I mean, how you know, that isn't left up to any private interpretation. How can you question what Paul said? For we know. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that we have a heavenly home. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have knowledge of that, that it's waiting for us and that it's real and that we are going to be there just as soon as our time here on the earth comes to an end. This world here is not my home. It's not. I'm here temporarily. I'm here to honor God. And that's what our lives are all about. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole purpose, the whole duty of man. That's why we are here, to reverence God, to honor Him with our lives, to serve Him, and to live for Him. And in order to do that, you've got to be born again. In order to accomplish that, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to be saved. But that's the reason for this life. We are here to honor God with this short time that He gives us. And I'm just glad and I'm thankful today above everything else in life to be saved and to know that my name is recorded in heaven and to know that I'm on my way to the place that God has prepared for His people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Jesus told His disciples, and we find it recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now there's a lot of things to be said about heaven, but listen, that's the greatest, that we'll be with Jesus, that we'll be in His presence. He's really what heaven is all about, to be there with our Savior and to just fall down at His feet and worship Him for the ceaseless ages of eternity is the greatest blessing of all. There's a lot about heaven that we don't know about. We don't know the half of it. A lot of it we're not going to really know until we get there. Just how sweet that it is, because eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But sometimes, and I know that those who have been saved for any length of time know this and experience this, that sometimes along this journey, and I'm not always certain what it is that brings it about, sometimes I think that it's just the trials of life sometimes that I begin, I think perhaps begin to make us think about this. Sometimes it's just, I believe, the joys of thinking about the joys that are ahead of us. But sometimes along our journey, we just begin to experience this great desire and this great yearning. As Paul said, for in this tabernacle we groan. What is it that we groan for? We groan earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. As the Apostle Paul said in his writing to the Philippians, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And, you know, sometimes, and I'm a lover of life, and I'm thankful that God gave me life. And I love being with people. I love being with my wife. I love being with my children that God has blessed me with. I love being with my grandchildren, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I love the fellowship that we have here on earth. But there's just sometimes that God moves upon my heart, and I'm just like, I'm just really looking forward. I'm really looking forward to when this is over. Listen, we're going to lay down one day as God's people. We're going to lay down all of our troubles, all of our trials, all heartaches, all sickness, all fear, all stress, all strain. We'll lay it down outside of the gates of that city that God has prepared for us, and we'll never be bothered with it again. Listen, a child of God can always take hope in that no matter what it is, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, we know that it's going to get better, don't we? We know there's a day coming when it's going to be better. And we read about that in the 21st chapter of Revelation, I believe about verse 4. We are told of the time when God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. And there won't be any more sorrow. There won't be any more pain. There won't be any more death. These things will have forever passed away, and we'll be done with them. We'll be finished with those things that we have dealt with here on the earth. You know, I'm glad that God gives us the grace that we need in this life to sustain us along the journey. Listen, God can help us through anything. He's got grace sufficient for us for everything that we face. But I'm longing for and looking forward to the day when all of this will be behind me. I think heaven is going to be good. It's going to be wonderful when with the Savior we enter the glory land. Won't it be wonderful there? Leaving the troubles and cares of this story land, won't it be wonderful there to just be with the Lord, to be in His presence? And I know that those who are saved, that you know what I'm talking about. we can't escape that. It's in our minds and it's in our hearts that we're just not home here. In fact, listen, when the children of God get too comfortable with this world, we're in bad shape. When we get to the point where we can't make that confession, where we just feel right at home here in the world, then we have gotten far away from God. Because when we're close to the Lord, we're going to confess that we're just strangers and pilgrims here on the earth, and we are just here to serve our Heavenly Father and to labor in His gospel and to reach out to those who are lost until the time that God comes and takes us and gives us His eternal rest. And that's what we're looking for, and that's what we're longing for. And that's the dilemma that comes up in our hearts from time to time. Listen, it's only natural, even in a natural sense. It's only natural if you're in the midst of something that's not pleasant and you know there's a situation where you could be more pleasant. It's only natural to long for that, isn't it? It's only natural for us as God's people, knowing that we have a better home, knowing that we have an eternal land of peace that God has prepared for us, knowing that, being aware of that, it's only to be expected that there would be those times that we would just begin to long for heaven and desire that better country that God has prepared for us. I love the way that the saints of God can leave this world. I've been with some of them at times when, with God's people, when they were getting ready to draw their last breath and they didn't have a fear. They didn't have any reservation at all about dying. Isn't that good? I'll tell you what, when I was lost, the thought of death scared me horribly. I mean, I couldn't even hardly think about death in my lost condition. I mean, I was so afraid of that thought that I couldn't even hardly stand to think about it. But I'm glad that when the Lord saved me, that He took away that fear. I don't have to fear that anymore. And my soul hasn't feared it since that very moment that He set me free. I've got a better place to go. You'll find me one day at the feet of Jesus. All sorrow, all pain, all heartache, all emotional pain, all physical pain, all troubles of any kind, gone forever, never to be experienced again. And you know what? As Moses said there to his father-in-law, as they were headed towards the promised land, he said, "We're just journeying to the place that God has made for us. Won't you come and go with us? We'll do you good." You know, that's what the labors of Victory Missionary Baptist Church have been about this week. That's what Brother Binion, your pastor, that's what his labors have been about this week. That's what my labors have been about this week. Because you know what? We're going to the place that God has prepared for His people, and we want you to come and go with us. Listen, there's nothing that's any better than getting saved. There's nothing that's any greater gift than the gift of salvation. But listen, if you are here and you're lost and separated from God, don't let anybody ever mislead you in the condition that you're in. You are not going to heaven in the condition that you're in. You're not prepared for heaven. The only place that awaits you beyond this life is a place called hell. And let me tell you something, it's real too. It's a place of everlasting torment. It's a place of everlasting fire and everlasting punishment. It's a place where those that go there are separated from the love and the mercy and the grace of God for eternity. And that's the only thing that's waiting those who are lost and in sin. Won't you come to the Lord and repent of your sins and trust in Jesus that you might experience what we've already experienced, that you might come to know that you've been saved and that you have a better place to go when this life is over, that you can walk through this world with peace in your heart and comfort in your soul, knowing that whatever befalls you here, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. There's a healing that's coming. One day, the saints of God will all be well. We'll be well. We'll be in good shape for eternity. Jesus said this, and I'll close with this thought. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said, when the Son of Man will come, the clouds of heaven in all of His glory, He'll gather before Him all nations of the earth. He'll separate those who are His people from those who aren't. He'll set the sheep on His right hand, the saved. He'll set the goats, the lost, on His left hand. He'll say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But this is what He's going to say to the redeemed. This is what He's going to say to His people. Come, not depart, come. Ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God has a place for His people. It's called heaven. Its beauty is beyond description. There's no way that all of us preachers that are here today could preach about it, and we wouldn't come close to telling you how great that it really is there. There are people there that I have known and loved in this life. They're already there. Sometimes, you know, we sing songs, and they may give us a good thought, you know, here on earth, but sometimes we sing songs about, you know, they're there and they're just waiting for us. No, they're not. They're not thinking about us at all. They're there and they're worshiping. They're in the presence of the Lord. I read this one time. I went to a funeral, and I read this one time where somebody, this little eulogy card, it said, if I could walk up to heaven and bring you back, I would. I said, well, you wouldn't get them to come. They wouldn't leave. I guarantee you they wouldn't want to come back here. And I'll tell you what, when we get to heaven, we're not going to ever want to leave. You know, we're going to have, I assume here before too long, we'll end up having a benediction. We'll end up having a dismissal. And we'll leave here, and there'll be those of us that'll be saying, well, I'm going to head home. Listen, we won't do that in heaven. We'll be home. We'll be in our real home. We'll be with God. We won't ever leave. Won't have a desire to depart. We will be exactly where we know we are supposed to be. There'll be contentment there like you've never known here on earth. There won't be any confession there that we're strangers and pilgrims. We'll be at home. And I want to, again, in trying to reach out to you that are not ready, won't you come to Jesus and be saved, that you can go with us, that you can journey with us to that place that God has prepared that's so beautiful? Won't you come? You're going to have to be born again in order to get to heaven. Nobody will ever enter in without being born of the Spirit. You'll have to be saved in order for heaven to be your home. Let's stand and let's have a song. Sing me a song about heaven. I'd love to hear about heaven this morning.